Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Bob, what is going on in there?
It's going to be good. Yeah, I have the lyrics. During the noon hour, I believe we're going to practice Mulsey the Snowman. Bob, that was Jenna, and we just practiced Mulsey the Snowman.
I saw.
Yeah.
I was very inspired.
Can I give you the first line, and then we could sing it together as practice? Oh, Mulsey the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a button nose, his favorite pitcher was Garrett Cole. Can you get that in, Bob?
All right, sure.
You ready?
Hold on, I've been choking on some of this food.
I might have to text this to you because we can't screw up the lyrics. And plus, you've been coughing the whole break. So why don't we hold off and we'll do that next time.
Okay.
Or next segment. Okay?
That's fine.
Limits, are you ready for a little rehearsing coming up?
Let's do it.
That'll happen next segment. I have to hand out the lyrics and then we have to practice. And I don't think Mulsey will feel bad about this, do you? He has a very good sense of humor about himself, and especially the size of his head. Right, Bob?
Yes.
Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, I don't think. I think he's a good-natured guy about all of it. So. Yeah.
Have you ever measured Mulsey's head?
No, I have
not. As much as you wonder about the size of it, I'm surprised in all the years you worked with Mulsey, you just didn't get a ruler or one of those ones that wrap around.
I never thought it was abnormally large. He preemptively brought that up on our show a long time ago.
Well, it's accentuated with the shaved look, too.
It is. You know? I mean, it's out of the ordinary slightly, I would say. Would you, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a big head, too, like that. I try to, you know, in pictures... Sometimes it's better not to be in the foreground when you do that.
Yeah.
Better to be back so it takes away the look.
Does Mulsey wear a size 8 hat? You know, the fitted hat, 7, 7 and a 4, 7 and 3 eighths. Does Mulsey wear an 8?
He may be the Willie Stargell number 8.
I don't think he wears an 8.
No?
No, I think he's probably maybe 7.5, if not lower than that. I wear like a 7, 7 and 1/4. Even like a 7 and 1/4 is bigger for me. That's why I like snapback hats.
It's very interesting, and thank you, City Limits.
You're quite welcome.
Are you one of those flat brim guys?
Yes. Oh, I love flat brim hats.
I don't like those at all.
It looks like you're serving a tray of cookies. I mean,
we have a whole tray of cookies in there,
Bob.
Would you like me to bring them on the flat brim?
I'll tell you what, this Christmas party is it's lit, as they say, Bob. There's enough food in there.
It is a feeding frenzy. You go to any television or radio station, it's all you'll see.
Do you
flock to
indulge
the food.
In the cookies? I noticed you didn't have a cookie on your. Are you okay? Bob?
Yes, I'm fine.
Seriously.
No cookies. I don't want any cookies. I've had enough cookies. They're delicious. Everybody made them. But man, around this time.
I'm on a cookie binge right now. That's my 7th cookie of the day. Plus, I had one of those chocolate things.
The pit cells at the Bechtold residence have to be hid every year because I find them.
Can you bring
I eat too many of them. I've already eaten 4, and then the next day I realize they have magically disappeared into a hiding place.
Yeah, but you have a metabolism.
Does your mom make them?
My sisters make them.
My wife makes great cookies, all of them. And it's so tempting because they're there every single day, and you just kind of have that battle with yourself.
I know. They're there for even breakfast.
No, I'm not going to, and then you come back later, and you get less.
It's the constant battle if they're available. It's like Crowley's chocolates that he left. If they weren't in here, obviously, I wouldn't think about them, but that's all I'm thinking about because the tin is right there, Bob.
Have you not eaten any of those chocolates?
I ate one to start the show today. Did you eat one, Bob?
Yes.
Because again, they're there. Right. Bob has a nutcracker in his house limits. If you showed up at his house, there would be some nutcracking happening.
It's a giant nutcracker, I heard. Yeah. Isn't it one of those like taller
ones?
It's good
for big walnuts. You can do a lot of different things.
Yeah. My God. Bob, do you want me to pat your back for a minute?
No.
You're having an attack here. All right. Let's talk about Joey Porter Jr. From what I can tell, whether it's people on the street, anecdotally, the mailbag questions, people are worried about Joey Porter. The first question I got in my mailbag this week, Bob, from a man who calls himself Tomlin Clock Management, TCM, I guess, was Joey Porter Jr. is a very serviceable but also very mediocre cornerback. Does that sound about right to you? That's what this guy asked me. How would you answer that question?
I think he has to just refrain from using the hands as much as he is, or figure out a way to do it so that they're not going to appear as obvious. I think he has tight coverage on everyone. He was involved, even the back shoulder throw to A.J. Brown the other day. I thought he was on, you know, he's there. You just got to understand sometimes about not using your hands, because some of these crews will call it a lot, some won't. But I like his ability to stick with guys. I think first and foremost, as a cover corner, you better be able to do that. The rest of it is just technique and how you handle those situations. But I think he's a very good cornerback. I do. And I don't mind penalties once in a while. Six is a little excessive, but
I don't think right now in his career he is a very good cornerback. I think that's very high praise coming from you. I think he's average to slightly above average, and in some games I think he's really good, like the Ravens game. I thought was the best game of his career. It was tremendous. But other games, I think he's horrible. And it adds up to me, Bob. Very good. I do not agree with you there. I think at this point in his career, and to be fair, it's his first full season as a starter, I'm more leaning toward PFF's grade, although I'm not going that far. They have him with an F, ranking 98th out of 115 corners that they graded. 98th of 115. He's second in the league in penalties for defensive backs, and I just think he's been wildly inconsistent. See if you agree with this, though, even if we agree on the base grade for him. Do you agree that he has not elevated from last season and established himself as a shutdown corner? Clearly, he hasn't done that.
Yes, I agree with that. But I also think, as you said, this is really early in his career.
Yeah.
This is a tough job. It's one of the most difficult jobs in sports, I think, trying to stay with guys, knowing the rules are all against you, basically. I'm going to give him some time on that, but yes, I agree with it. He hasn't taken a step.
I wish he would have so far, and it's not to say he won't. I love his attitude. Seems like a great kid, too. He doesn't back down from anybody.
His attitude is probably his best asset right now.
Yeah.
He's not afraid.
He's very likable dude.
And he wants those assignments, and he knows what it takes to win those assignments.
Well, I hope he does, but he's not winning enough of them. The third down the other day, he was very celebratory after, I think it was a second down or first down incompletion. But then at the line, A.J. Brown, who is so strong, I don't know, is there a stronger receiver in the game, like physically stronger? I don't know. He just shrugged Porter aside and got an easy first down that set that whole 10.5-minute drive in motion. Do you remember that,
Bob?
Yeah,
I do remember that. Yeah, no, I agree. I understand the assessment you're giving. I think... You need to give time to some of these guys. It's not, you know, we're making conclusions on how he is right now. Okay, fine.
I know.
I still like what my assessment is. I like that he keeps up with guys. He's not afraid of that battle. He wants it. And I think that will, in time,
I think
help
sometimes
him along
he doesn't keep
way
up with guys. That's the problem.
Well,
and
but
therefore,
not every cornerback does. Again,
he's forced to take penalties.
You look around the league. Again, I keep mentioning Sauce Gardner's gone the totally opposite direction of where you thought he was. It's a difficult thing if you get confident. The confidence has to not wane. If you start losing confidence because you're getting called for penalties or whatever, I think he has a good attitude that way. And I think in time, You'll see better responses.
Man, I hope. Because right now, there's a question mark on that draft pick for me, honestly. I was hoping he was going to take a big step this year. He hasn't taken a step at all, is the fact of the matter. And you say, you know, we have to be careful. I know that. I know it is his first full season, but there's not time here. There's not time. You're allowed to play great as a young player, too. And he's going to have to play at least good if they're going to get where they want to go this season. If they're going to get where they want to go, he's got to be better. I worry about the corners. I worry about a quarterback shredding them in the playoffs, any one of three or four. He's a worrisome spot for me right now, Limits. How about you?
He is a little bit. I don't look into the PFF numbers that much, but it is concerning because teams are now making it a point to pick on JPJ, and that did not happen last year, mainly because of the success. And is he getting picked on by the refs? I don't think so. But the way that he plays is such a physical style. Other teams are either tempting you, for JPJ that is, to commit a penalty, and they gain yards off of that, or they have a wide receiver that's just better than him, Jamar Chase, Brown, whoever it might be. He has regressed a little bit. There needs to be a pushing off point for him to not grab as much and just get better. And his tackling still needs to improve.
Well, he has gotten better at that.
I'll say that. But it still isn't where it needs to be.
Well, he came out the other day. I don't think this helps either. Chris Adamski had a story in the Trib after the game about Joey Porter saying that they let A.J. Brown get away with a bunch of push-offs the other day. I don't think that helps you, Bob. You got to find a way to deal with that. And by the way, within 5 yards, that's what they do, and that's what you should be doing. And maybe he feels like he's getting picked on, but hey, that was the rap on him coming out of Penn State. He's handsy.
He's
going to get penalties. He's got the second.
And he doesn't make a lot of interceptions, but that's okay as long as you cover guys and don't allow completions. Pass defenses are very big numbers in the NFL.
412-928-9370 on Porter. 928-9370. It's 1147. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency to get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610 fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What about the ongoing Minka situation, Bob? We're now talking calendar years between turnovers. I mean, on one hand, he can't be playing that poorly because it's not like they're getting shredded way over the top a lot if he's being asked to play center field. On the other hand, and plus, his lack of turnovers is not affecting their turnover, you know, production as a whole. They get tons of them. So is he doing a good job? Is he doing what he's asked to do or not? Because now we're going on two full NFL seasons without an interception or a forced fumble. Or a fumble recovery.
He's being paid $21 million, whatever the cap hit is. You expect bigger plays. No question about that. But I also think part of this is strategic in that they're asking him to solidify the back end so there aren't any big time, you know, 60-yard, 50-yard touchdown bombs to get behind him. Now, having said that, there have been plays that have gotten behind him. He's taken bad angles on a couple of, to me, scheme does play a role in this. If they're asking him to sit back and make sure nothing happens in the middle of the field, okay, fine. But by doing that, you're taking maybe his best skill and diminishing it, which is to do, you know, some unusual things in the box, on exotic blitzes, different areas he lines up. He's physical enough to line up close, in the middle, and deep. So he has a lot of things to offer, but they're asking him to sit back more than he has. And if you're not going to throw in the middle of the field, chances are you won't see him doing anything in terms of turnovers. Do I like that? No. I'd rather see him do a little bit of both, but I want to see him be more involved in plays, disruptive plays, because I think that's his mindset as a player.
I'll tell you this. I never thought while he was still in his 20s, we would look at Minka and say he literally never gets an interception. It's sort of mind-blowing in a way. And I don't know, but the naked eye tells me one of two things as I watch him. One, that he has lost a step on his closing speed. Or maybe just isn't anticipating the way he used to. And I wonder if it is, in fact, that it's just that split second that he's lost. And I'm not saying it is. I'm saying I wonder if it's because of the way that his body's been racked up. That's the best part of his game. He detonated Barkley the other day. He's just a fearless, physical maniac out there. And I wonder what toll that takes on a body. Because nobody ever asked Ed Reed to do that. You know, if you're a center fielder, you're a center fielder right. For your career. And part of the idea is to save your body so you can run and make plays and close and do all the things that you want a center fielder to do. I wonder if this guy's been racked up to the point where there's just a little bit missing in terms of the speed and ability to close. On the other hand, maybe he's not. Maybe they're telling him not to take as many chances.
I think that's true. I think they're telling him not to. Just patrol that area. You know, the one thing about Ed Reed, he did that, and people still tried to throw. That was a different era. People would throw it even if they knew you were back there just because they want to try to make plays in that section of the field. Today, it seems like a lot of teams are shying away from that, whether that's Jesse Bates over there or Minkah Fitzpatrick over there or name any good safety. Okay, don't throw in that direction. That should help everyone else, but you're also taking away the biggest trait that I think the guy offers. You mentioned maniacal, maniac. I like that. You know,
me too.
That's what Troy Polamalu was. He was the Tasmanian devil because he did things that are unique. He has a skill set that can do things that would help you that not other people may have. So I can understand why they want to do it, but I also think they want to get him more involved. At least I would.
We've come upon the 50-minute mark here. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Bob, why don't we take a little trip around the sports world next? God bless me.
Bless you.
There's some Penguin things happening. Are they going to make any moves coming up? And what about the Pirates offseason? Or lack thereof?
Lack thereof.
Let's talk about that for a little while. There's a lot of things happening in the world of sports, and I think that you and I should take a little time and look at it. And
did you see this, by the way? The basketball NBA ratings are down 48% over the last 2 years.
What?
Television.
It's terrible.
Ratings. That's true.
On what stations?
It is true.
Overall, just a market search from Nielsen about the people watching NBA basketball, it's down 48%. And I don't, you know, who knows what reasons there are, but I think we've reached a saturation point at times with some of these sports, though. This is the problem when you're on the air every single day, three, four, five, six games. After a while, they all start looking the same. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, how many games can I watch to differentiate themselves? That's why the NBA put together that cup that they're playing in right now to try to get more attention on regular season December games, November, December. I don't know. I think it's just too much television, but I think that about a lot of sports.
Well, TNT has a game twice a week. ESPN has a game maybe twice a week. And the NBA TV has a game once a week. So there's basketball on national TV every single day. And as soon as the NFL season
ends, including Christmas, and the NBA is not happy that the NFL has infringed upon their territory.
And college football shouldn't be happy that the NFL is also playing two games on Saturday during their new 12-team format.
What are they going to do? They had to figure out a time and a day. They're not going to do it on a weekday.
You're talking about the NFL or college football?
I'm talking about college football. They have no choice but to put it on.
The NFL should be on Sunday.
That's the other thing we need to talk about is college football. That's one of the topics I wanted to hit on.
Drew Allen, that whole situation at Penn State is a tough one, and I think James Franklin...
Well, don't say it now. Well, I want to tease to it, Bob. Okay. Don't say your opinion yet.
I'll
retract
what I just said.
We need to talk about how the transfer portal is opening at the same time.
That's terrible.
As these games are happening.
So makes no sense.
Let's talk about that next. The NBA hasn't sunk to NHL levels, has it?
No. I'm just saying by its high.
I'm reading about it. I wasn't aware of this. I'm reading about it right now. They've plummeted down 28% on ESPN and flat on TNT. And then I think you're talking about if you add up all the local
markets.
If
you add up all the everything, it's 48%. That's the overall everything is an important number when it comes to advertisers.
One thing that turns me off, and I watch a lot of NBA, is that a lot of games it just becomes a shooting contest.
Look at the scores last night. It was 141, 140, 138, 136. They're close.
If you take 40 three-pointers, it's which team on a given night is going to make more. They might as well just line up at the beginning of the game and start and have a three-point shooting contest.
And those are typically low-percentage shots. You know, not many, unless you're Steph Curry or somebody who has that ability to knock them down. Most teams are going to shoot 31, 32, and that's not the kind of shot you want.
Well, even there, you could have an argument is – and I think they use the benchmark of 40% from three. That's better than 55% from two.
If you add the points,
extra point.
Right. But on nights where you're really off and guys keep firing it up,
yeah.
You know, thinking 49 shots from three and only 12 go in, that's not doing yourself any favors.